Father, Lord, I thank you, Father, for this time of worship that you have given us, that is in our lives. Lord, Father, we will not forget the things that you have done for us. Lord, Father, you have been so good to me, so good to us, so good to the church, Lord. Father, Lord, you have heard all our cries. You have given us the answers in the right time, Lord. Father, Lord, today we have come to hear from you. You speak to us, Lord. And my Father, I am a weak person, Lord. I was thinking that I will not be able to stand here today, but you made it possible, Lord. Father, God, thank you, Father. Father, Lord, you talk to each and everyone's heart that, Father, the seed might find its right soil to germinate, Lord. Father, you talk to their hearts. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. First of all, I just wanted to thank the praise and worship team. You know, the songs were really life-injecting. I am much thankful to the hymns that are selected. Every day, it's beautiful songs. Thank you. We will be looking at the second part. By the way, yesterday night I was preparing. Suddenly, my throat got choked, and it went flaring up. By 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, I thought I won't be able to. I thought of calling pastor, but that I may not be able to give the message today. Then I thought, why should I be worried? The Lord is the one who is going to do it. He will do it in the right manner. So I gave it, submitted to the Lord. I thank you. Still, I am having problem. That's the reason I am at a very low voice. I am standing because of His grace. Thank you. So, preamble of this is actually the second part. The first part we have seen. We were meditating on John chapter 3, the third verse, that we see the kingdom of God. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And fourth is a question back to Jesus. How is it possible that a man can enter his mother's womb and be born again? This is a natural question when you hear such a question to a normal person. So in the fifth verse, again, the word says that unless you are born of water and spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom. You cannot. These are the common words which you see in both. You cannot enter the kingdom of God is the common word that you see. Now, it's a very mysterious word, born again, experience. Now, that actually changes a murderer, an adulterer, a drug peddler, a thief, anyone into the likeness of his son. That means all these people, they are all changed into the likeness. It is not a progressive one. It is not something that a better life. No, it is not a better life. It is a real-time change. And that the change could happen in any way, by reading the verse or hearing the message or whatever instances where you cried and you prayed unto God, whatever. But the change is evident from within. So, the third and the fifth verses are showcasing the born-again experience. So, we have already looked into the first part, which is seeing the kingdom of God, which actually happens together. Seeing and entering experience are both at one time. But first, seeing will happen, and then entering will happen. So here now we will be looking at 3-5, born of the water and born of the spirit. That's a must. Immediately you conclude born of water means immediately you will take it for granted that it is baptism. And then born of the spirit means talking in tongues. These are the evident things that we can see. But God is not talking about the evident things, because salvation from sin and death is fully a free gift of God. That is foundational, that the salvation from sin and death is a gift of God. There is nothing that you need to add, nothing you need to deduct. It is 100% God's work. This is foundational. When you put baptism there, the problem is that the salvation is not only God's part, not 100%, something is from our side. That means baptism that you conduct, that is your decision. And when you do that, if you get the salvation, that means that's not 100% free from God. The baptism is a gift of God. It is not achieved by your works. It is not an award for your excellence. It is a free gift of God. This is fundamental doctrine that it should go inside our heart. And so this is the place where when you put baptism over there, you will see that there is an ignorance that blinds our heart, our eyes. Basically, 2 Corinthians 3:16 says that whenever someone turns to God, the veil is taken away. The veil is taken away means until then there is a veil. You cannot see the kingdom of God. So you see that in 2 Corinthians 3:16, that many of the verses are talking about the veil there. So you can read that. When you turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. That is the seeing of the kingdom of God. When you turn to the Lord, when you turn to Jesus Christ, then Galatians 2:17 says, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners. That means if we wanted to be justified by Christ, Jesus wants to justify you. If you want Jesus to be justified, you to be justified by Jesus Christ, then what happens is you become a sinner. You become a sinner. That means how does this happen? Because Jesus Christ has paid a very big price in the form of sacrifice of his son on the cross. Has paid a big price. God has paid a big price in the form of sacrifice. So who did not know sin actually? Jesus Christ is it's mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 5:21. You don't need to read. He was killed because he was identified as the suffering Messiah whom the prophet Isaiah mentioned. Now he spoke about the righteousness, the righteous character of God. He revealed himself as the Son of God. He preached the repentance that should be from within. All these things were they were doing it as an act. When Jesus said like this, he became an enemy of those people. They mocked at him, they insulted, they threatened, they spat on his face, They bet him, they coerced, they witnessed falsely. All of us fled from him, and all of us denied him. He was counted more than a murderer. We were onlookers at that time. When all these were done to Jesus Christ, the whole life, you see that he was mocked, he was looked in a different manner. All this, why did he do? If you ask a question, why did Lord you do? Why did you opt to do this? Then you will understand the price that he paid. Even a very small thing, today I was having this throat issue. I was totally weak today. I was thinking how things would go today. But then, with God, everything is possible. So, today my voice is very low. I'll keep a very low voice because of my issue. But still, God is great. God will do a good. God will talk to you. It's not me. It's not my actions. Not my sound. But God will talk to you. Jesus paid a big price, knowing that you shall be spared without paying that price. So, encountering his glory. So, in our weakness, encountering his glory happens in our weakness, in our emptiness, in our loneliness, in our when our own righteousness plays as the villain in our life. When all things go wrong, and when you are in dire straits that you cannot find an answer, at that point of time, when you turn, when you think that you are sinking, when you don't have any other branch to hold on, there you will see Jesus Christ, who had suffered for you all, for me, and then for you all, because he had gone through mocking, he had gone through, he was a false witness, he did not able to give an answer. Everything was, and he was lonely. Everyone ditched him, everyone denied him. So if we are experiencing such things in our life, God has done, who has experienced that, not for him, he did not need to do that. But when you look at that, you will understand he did it for you, so that when you are weak, his strength is there. When you are empty, when you are lonely, you will find his presence. In Jesus' name, amen. You will encounter Christ in such situations. 2 Corinthians 4:6.
For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
You see there, when you meet Jesus Christ, you see you have the glory of God, which was in the face of Jesus Christ. So that is how, when you meet Jesus Christ in your troubled times, when you don't have any other way, when you cling on to Christ, at that point of time, he is very much there. He says, I have gone through death, so that even the fear of death shall not haunt you. You know, there are certain words when I say, that is touching me. Let me say amen. Amen. Let me say amen. Amen. Be responsive. If you want to say, you say. Because I don't have the sound to. So, if I say, the knowledge of the glory of God, which was in the face of Jesus Christ. When you see that glory, your life will be changed. Amen. Thank you. our study, we will be meditating on John chapter 3:5. The study will be like this. We will look into what is entering into the kingdom of God, and then we will see for entering what price he paid. We will be comparing that with Joseph's story. You have to very carefully listen. I don't have the strength to give importance to the verses. So if that price was not paid by Christ, what would have been your state? We will study from Joseph's story. Okay, first we will see what is entering into the kingdom of God. John chapter 3:5, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." We saw that entering the kingdom of God is not seeing the kingdom of God. You enter, when you enter, you are given the Spirit of the Lord. When you are given the Spirit of the Lord, God counts as a seal upon you. That is the seal that you are, from there onwards, you are a citizen of the heaven above. Why? Because your righteousness inside, how you consider what is right and wrong, is now replaced by the law of God. The law of God is his righteousness. And now what you see, that you have a different righteousness within your heart. Your heart is changed, and that heart is replaced with the righteousness of God. That is why we read in another verse, I will come there, that the heart is removed, because that heart contains what? The righteousness of God. The old righteousness is removed, which is a stony heart. So we read that 2 Corinthians chapter 4:7 says,
"But we have this treasure in earthen vessels."
We have this treasure, the glory of God, which is the Holy Spirit in you. Yes.
"That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us."
Not of us. The excellency of the power may be of God. That now this treasure is within you. He has empowered you to meet any situation in your life. Any situation in your life you can encounter with this Holy Spirit dwelling in you. So when we read the 10th verse, in the 10th verse says, "You are a teacher of Israel." This is mentioned by Jesus Christ brother, what is the name? Nicodemus. Thank you. So he is asking Nicodemus, "Are you the teacher of Israel? And don't you know these things?" It's a question. He refers back to the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law. You get the forgiveness of sins. How? By offering sacrifice, right? You take the blood, that is the life of the animal, unto God. So that is how. So Hebrews 9:22 says,
according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness.
Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Everything is purified by blood. So when you look back to that, in the Old Testament, which Jesus was referring to Nicodemus, is, "You are a teacher and you should know, how does this work?" And he talks about what is water. Basically, we read that in 3:5 we have read that, "Most assuredly I say unto you, unless you are born of water." What is this water? It's a question. Now he is asking a question back. You don't know. He's a teacher. You don't know. It's a shame for us, right? we are a teacher and we cannot even interpret a particular verse. And then it is mentioned, it is that without blood, nothing could be cleansed. So the forgiveness is through the blood, shedding of the blood. So shedding of the blood means paying a price. Paying a price by giving his life. God pays a big price in the form of sacrifice of his son on the cross, who knew no sin. And in Ezekiel 36:25, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. Your filth shall be washed away, and you no longer worship idols. I will give you a new heart. Here you see that he is changing the heart. I will give you a new heart, which was filled with your righteousness. Now that is filled with God's righteousness. And I will put a new spirit in you and take out the stony and stubborn heart. What was the problem of the stubborn heart? You don't accept anything that is out of your righteousness. You will always be adamant, stubborn, because you are the king there. Now when God's righteousness comes, you are no more a king, you become a slave, and God becomes the master. So you see that the treasure is now in us. The 27th verse, I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my commandments. Now what this glory that is within you, is dwelling in you, what does it do? Is that he will make you, this heart is acceptable to God's righteousness, and you will accept the commandments of God. You will automatically, without saying, your joy will be to comply with that. Now Hebrews 10:22 says, let us
go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water.
So here also you see that how this is done. Now in 1 Corinthians 6:19 we read there, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. Your body is purchased by, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 20th verse.
For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body.
Yes, you are bought with a very high price. High price. Now, your body is bought by God and you don't own it. That is why God is a master, you are a slave. With joy you are accepting, not as a slave. You know, you read the Old Testament, you will see that in the year of Jubilee, he is sending that person out, but he says, no, master, I want to be here. I want to be your slave. That is the kind of slave that is talking about here. So now let us look into the story of Joseph. He was very obedient. Listen very carefully. I am taking certain typologies of Christ. I don't think that I'll be able to finish. Either I will not finish or I'll finish with my throat, whatever it is. So, he was obedient to his father. So, father liked him more. It's normal. But the other brothers hated. Because when you are a very obedient son, what happens? The father will have liking towards you. So, that is a reason. Is it a reason to hate? For them, it was a reason to hate Joseph. Now, then after that, he saw two identical dreams. The one was, it was very real to him. One was about sheaves standing up. Then the other was known as sun, moon and stars. So he told this to the parent. But the dream was interpreted in a different manner, that all of us will come and bow before him and he is portrayed as a king. What he said was what he saw, but how others interpreted was that he is talking arrogance. So that was also a reason that that he mocked at, they mocked at him and they hated him. You know, Jesus, when you look at the typology, for what reason Jesus was hated? Because they say that because he made himself equal to God. He made himself equal to God. What did Joseph say? Joseph, whatever he saw a dream, and he said that all 11 of them are coming and standing in front of me and bowing. So that is what. So these people said plan to eliminate him. The eliminate word is very common now, to eliminate him. And they called him a dreamer, mocked. Now, when you see how much he suffered, Joseph, how much he suffered, we will see from Genesis chapter 42:21. Speaking
among themselves, they said, clearly we are being punished because of what we did to Joseph long ago. We saw his anguish when he pleaded for his life, but we wouldn't listen. That's why we are in this trouble.
Now, I think it's not, voice is not coming very clear. I don't know whether you are able to hear properly. Are you able to? Okay. Here, actually, this is actually, who's telling this? Reuben is telling this. See, we have clearly punished, clearly we are being punished. Why? Because what did we do to Joseph? He was in anguish and he was pleading with you, please spare my life, please spare my life. But you did not listen, and now you are in trouble. Now you are in trouble. Just note how much he might have struggled at that time when these people were taking his clothes out and going to kill. You know, in that thing, we will kill him, we will kill him. These words are quite often heard by Joseph at that particular point of time. And in the 22nd verse, didn't I
tell you not to sin against the boy? Reuben asked. But you wouldn't listen. And now we have to answer for his blood.
Yes. You have to answer for his blood. For every sin, we will be answerable. We will be answerable. So every sin, the same way he says that now you are answerable. See how the story goes. The story goes in such a fashion that these people's sin, how much they have done, now they are going to be tortured when Joseph is meeting him. They are going to be tortured. This is the torture of sin. When the sin goes inside, this is the torture. You can learn in different ways. Joseph's story, you can learn in different ways. The torture that you are happening is mentioned there. If you look at the torture that they are going through from chapter 42 onwards, you will see how much they suffered. Now, again, his cloth was being taken away. The tunic that Joseph had, Jesus' cloth was taken out. Now, then again, Joseph was sold to Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. There also you see the typology of Jesus, that he was sold for a price. Jesus was betrayed for a price. Joseph was betrayed for a price. Now, the Ishmaelites sold Joseph to Potiphar. Now, imagine the situation that he was put into the well and he was taken out, and then again, no, we will kill him. There had been too much of arguments, and finally they agree that they will sell it to them and took the money. Look at Joseph was seeing the whole thing as a witness, how they dealt with him. He could have kept a lot of wrath against them. But he did not, he was not able to. But then he was sold. they were much better than his own brothers. His brothers were murderers, but the other people were not so. Now he was taken. Like Pilate was not a murderer, Jews who were his own brothers and sisters were the murderers. Mean to say we are the murderers. So then what happened is, then he is being sold to Potiphar. In Joseph, one good thing is that when he was with his father, he was faithful. When he was with Potiphar, he was faithful. That Potiphar trusted for everything on Joseph, and he gave all the freedom. You see, faithfulness has got a big price. You know, many of those people who have come up from a low level is that they always be faithful. I am not talking about an elite group. I am talking about faithfulness is something God looks from us. God looks from us. If you hear the word and if you obey the word, then God bless you. Okay, then you see that the prison, he comes to the prison keeper, and there also he is faithful. He don't know how many years he spent in that prison, because Potiphar put him into Potiphar also. He had done only good things, but finally he was in the dungeon. In the normal dungeon it would have been good, but this is the king's dungeon. Only king can take him out, and he cannot now come out. He's there years and years together. He's asking, please tell me about to the king. But no one dared to do that. Then we see that, God is doing wonderful things through Joseph. And then comes Pharaoh. I'm just skipping because I want to give you certain points. Pharaoh saw a dream, and his spirit was in trouble. Now see how God works. No one is there to help. You see, many of the time that we take the problem on our head, we don't give it to God. We don't give it to God. If you give it to God also, you prescribe a time for performance. And when that does not happen, you turn away and we do it ourselves. This is the thing that you see here. He waited probably, I think, at the 13 or 14 years he was away from his house in different manner. Now this butler has seen that head of butler has seen that he's seen that Joseph has got this special knowledge of God, and he tells this to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh immediately sends to bring him. And this dream was very, very difficult for everyone to answer according to the way that he understands, because God opened his heart to understand that dream. So anything else comes will not be accepted. It will be accepted only it should come from Joseph. So God made it in such a manner. When God works in a very beautiful manner. So here we see that now Joseph answers and gives the answer, and he's accepted, and he's made the second to the throne. Now you see here also that when he was given so many clothes, father's clothes he had Potiphar's clothes, and then he had the dress in the dungeon. Now when God gives through the king, he gives that dress which is righteous, that no one can change. This is God's work in us. He is the one who is our God, my God. I don't know about you. If you say amen. Amen. All right. In Genesis chapter 45:1 onwards, we will read. Brother, read fast.
Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers.
Here what does it say is all the situations are gone. All the situations are gone. He is asking Simeon to be here, and then he sends the people and bring his younger brother, and his younger brother was brought, and then he says, now we have got these tumblers from your younger brother, he has to be here. You see the sin that they have committed and the problem. You know, Judah, you know what he did? He gave his family to his father. If I don't bring this son back, then my family will be with you. He gave that kind of a thing. See the sin that they committed. You know, this sin is coming and coming. Now you see that Joseph, who stands for Christ, he says, get out, all of you. He says, I want my brothers to be with me. And he stands with that brother and say, I am Joseph. This is what we are going to see with Christ, that he will say, he will call us by our name, and he is the one who is going to do that for us. And then read, and the Egyptians, the Pharaoh heard it. He cried. The Pharaoh heard it. And then the third verse says, and Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Then after that, the fourth verse, please come near me. How can a person accept this kind of a brother who are murderers? How? I was thinking about it. You know, the beauty that when I came to know, I jumped out of my seat, because it was so beautiful. That, you know, why he believed is, at the time that he saw that all these people will come and bow before him, that was a dream for him at that point of time. But now this is happening. What God gave him is real. And he sees all his brothers coming and standing before him. And they are pleading before him. See how he does it with them. And he said, don't please come near to me. They are scared. Their knees are, you know, shaking. And then the fifth verse, but now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourself because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve me. This understanding came when he understood that dream came true. That is why he said, he very purposefully, very with strong, with 100% strength, he said that God sent me before to preserve your life. And this is a typology that Jesus Christ came to this world to save the sinners, to preserve us. God had sent him to us. In the seventh verse, and God sent me to preserve a place for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. The great deliverance. That is what. How did he deliver? How did he deliver his miracle? He made Joseph the second in command for that alien country, and where he was the decision maker. This is how God does. Now this person, these people go there, and they were stamped as spies, and they were about to face death. And at that point of time, God sends talking through Jesus, Joseph, and reveals himself that I am Joseph. And then the 45:8 verse,
So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt.
So how did Joseph came to know the plan? He came to know the plan when it came true in his life. You will see such things in your life, that God is truth in your life. Someone, not the prophecies, God will talk to your hearts and he will perform it. But you should wait. All right. So Genesis. So the dream. This is the price. I am comparing. This is the price that Jesus gave by coming to this earth and identifying with his brothers. And now you see the whole problems. That is the death that we have to face. The death, because you have committed a sin, now you are going to be accounted for that sin. And when you are going to be accounted for that sin, Joseph comes and says, I am Joseph. See how you are justified? You understood? Joseph comes and says, and that price, who took the price? Joseph took for that, for his murderers. Now Jesus is taking for us who crucified him. Now Genesis 50:15 says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, and then you read there that they were so scared, very, very scared. Can you read, brother? Just read fast.
And they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now
they,
please forgive
they
the trespass.
They cried unto Joseph, and Joseph, instead, he did not take the opportunity. He wept. You see there, he wept. That is the typology of Christ. And then they say that, we are your servants. Who says this? From Reuben to the last one. Say, we are the servants. And then 19th verse, Joseph says, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Everyone say, you meant it evil for me, but God meant it for good. Say that. This will happen in your life. All right. Whoever repeated will happen in their life. All right. So now Acts 4:28 says, this was purposed. I'm not reading that part. This is purposed by God alone, not by anyone. Now, when this thing was mentioned to Jacob, who was sitting in the house, now they are going and telling, they are going with carts and everything, and they are going and telling to Jacob and to all the people that Joseph is the second in command. Now, when you read Ephesians chapter 3:10 says, God's purpose in all this was to use the church, use us, redeem sinners, to display his wisdom in his rich variety to all the unseen rulers, authorities in heavenly places. In the heavenly places, God is portraying, showcasing the church. And 11th verse says, this was the eternal plan which he carried out through Christ Jesus. Here also you see the topology that Christ, when he brings, you know, the whole realm in the heavenly places, they say, how how could it be possible that God purpose in all this to use the church to display the wisdom? So how it is possible, God's wisdom, how these people can have? That is the question that is raised there. Now, I just want to say that Genesis chapter 45, 26 says that Jacob's heart stood still, and he did not believe. He saw this, and his heart was stopped. Heart was stopped, and then when he saw, it was a change. So this is the outside people. What is happening? What God does? This is what God is going to do with all those who cling on to Christ. Cling on to Christ. Amen. Thank you for who said. Now, first Peter 1:18 says, knowing that you are redeemed not with corruptible things, but with silver and gold, and by the precious blood of Christ, of Lamb, without blemish and without spot. He suffered. The Joseph story is only one example. Now, if Jesus has suffered weakness, he understood that we will suffer the weakness. So he has done that. If Jesus has suffered the very emptiness in our life, that is for us. Like that, in your loneliness, in everything, when you are scrolling on the ground to find an answer, yes, Jesus is there. He will be crying, moaning. He will be by your side. He said, I will never leave you and never forsake you. May God bless you.